Like we're going to continue to hold 405 till later in the agenda. Is that right, Commissioner?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. And then let's go ahead and move to our time certain 398.
398, direct the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Portland Housing Bureau to collaborate to develop recommendations to create zoning incentives for affordable housing development in the central city.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Portland's housing market is rapidly changing, and it's no surprise to those all of my colleagues that we have an affordable housing crisis in this city. We have the second tightest rental market in the nation right now, behind only New York City. In just the last year alone, rents have increased more than 11% in Portland, while median family incomes have unfortunately stayed flat. We are at a tipping point in the future of our city. Will we retain affordable housing units in our city so that families that work in Portland can afford to live in Portland? Or will we become the next San Francisco, where you have the rich and poor and nothing in between? The central city of Portland, which includes not only downtown, but also the Lloyd District, the South Waterfront area, the Central East Side, and Goose Hollow, the central city of Portland is expected to have 30,000 new households in the next 30 years. How do we plan for these families and assure that affordable housing units are available to them? Access to good jobs, transportation options, and strong schools are the building blocks for family success. Without affordable housing in our most amenity-rich areas of the city, we are in jeopardy of becoming a city that does not represent the values that Portlanders share. The Portland Housing Bureau has some tools to help incent the development of affordable housing in what would otherwise be market rate developments. But we are missing a major tool in our toolbox, a best practice that many other major cities employ. It's called an incentive zoning program. The time is now to develop such a program. In fact, I wish it was done yesterday. I discussed this proposal with the HUD Housing and Urban Development Regional Director Bill Block a few weeks ago, and he expressed that this is an important tool to have to address the growing need for affordable housing and cautioned to be very deliberate in designing the incentive zoning program to ensure that we receive the full outcomes that meet our policy goals. And the first step in that direction is this resolution, which tasked two of our bureaus, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Housing Bureau, to collaborate to complete an economic market study, which will assist in the development of the recommendations that we will ultimately bring back to Council. We want to ensure that we have an effective, efficient tool focused on creating more affordable housing. To talk more about the process, the details of the process of moving forward and incentive zoning, we have here Tracy Manning, Housing Bureau Director, and Susan Anderson, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability Director. And they will be followed by a panel of John Miller, the Executive Director of the Oregon Opportunity Network, Andy Shaw, Director of Housing, Central City Concern, and Dan Valier, Executive Director of Reach Community Development. So, Tracy, you're going to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm actually very much appreciate being asked to look at this. It's an exciting opportunity. I think the need is becoming increasingly clear. Harvard's most recent study, their Joint Center for Housing State of the Nation report, said that in our country in 2011 and 12, the number of renter households increased by more than 1.1 million. That's the eighth consecutive year of expansion and more than the second year when renters accounted for all of the net household growth. And as the commissioner mentioned, unfortunately, the number of households with cost burdens in our community continues to climb. The potential here, I think, really speaks, though, to who we are as Portlanders and what we value. City of Portland has made extraordinary, nationally known investments in our central city to make it a really attractive place to live and work. And I think what we value is that all Portland residents should have access to these amazing amenities of transit and jobs, all in the central city. We also really value being able to keep families in the city of Portland. It creates healthy diversity in our communities, also stabilizes enrollment in Portland's school districts, and does that by increasing those opportunities to live in the central city. And I think finally, having these opportunities does some amount to relieve some of the displacement pressure that we're increasingly experiencing. So this would be a new tool for us, but not a new tool at all in this country. One thing that a lot of the policy folks in housing in Portland are doing right now is taking a look at the toolbox, seeing what we're missing. It's something we've been doing as well, and this has certainly jumped out at us. The state of Oregon is also taking a look. So we know zoning incentives have proven to work in other communities to retain opportunities for low-wage workers and low-income families to live closer to those job centers, and that it has the opportunity to leverage the activity of market rate development. So certainly it's going to take all of us to keep Portland the place we want to be and have that diversity of housing opportunities close into the central city, and certainly the private market is a huge part of that. So it's another exciting possibility with this kind of tool. And, of course, preserves scarce investments and direct investments to help us work with other kinds of need. So with that, I'd love to turn it over to Susan to talk a little bit more about this mechanism.
Great. Thank you, Tracy. Good morning, Mayor, Council. Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As Tracy mentioned, we'll be working together to study and then recommend to you incentives for promoting new affordable housing in the Central City. For a little bit of context, the Central City has had density bonuses and a variety of incentives for more than 20 years, but not specifically for affordable housing. The incentives were created for a wide range of policy objectives, such as just increasing housing overall in the Central City, which when we started this in the late 80s was something, housing was not something that most developers were looking at. That has since changed. We've also had incentives to encourage the development of daycare centers, different amenities like fountains, open space, art, and to promote the development of things like eco-roofs. So overall, the housing bonus, which we do have for market rate housing, has been somewhat well used, and most of the others not so much. So we're uncertain really about how much of an impact some of the other bonuses and incentives have really had in terms of pushing the market. So we're very excited to be going to do the study together. As part of the work on the new Central City 2035 plan, which is underway, stakeholders, both private stakeholders and public sector stakeholders, have agreed that we really need to closely review the incentives and how they meet various market conditions. So there's currently 18 different bonus options, and there are 6 different transfer options. So we want to provide more clarity around those and to some extent simplify and make it more understandable for the development community. As a refresher, a bonus is when you get additional FAR, floor area ratio, for investing in one of the options, such as housing or an eco roof, for example. On the other hand, a transfer is a private negotiation between two parties that transfers the development rights from one site to another site. In Portland, these are used to do things like protect historic properties, for example, or they're often used in master plans or sometimes for SRO buildings, single room occupancy buildings, have been known to transfer some of their unused FAR to other sites. The general feedback that we have so far suggests that projects that desire a significant amount of additional density really tend to go and use the transfer system between the private negotiation more than the bonuses, because they'd have to use several different bonuses to get the amount of FAR that they are looking for, and it's usually more cost effective. As Tracy mentioned, other cities around the country have been using a variety of different kinds of voluntary incentives for the production of affordable housing. We're going to review those options, we're going to analyze them, and look at the examples from the most successful cities. We'll also be looking at current zoning entitlements and do market analysis to see what the options would need to be in order to actually move the market in terms of a significant incentive for affordable housing. So we will also make sure and look not just at affordable housing. We'll be doing the broader look at this, including things people care a lot about in terms of open space and historic preservation density. But the primary focus of this is looking at how do we take a system of financial incentives, see what other cities around the country are doing, take the best practices and target that for more affordable housing in the central city. Again, in simple terms to be used, the incentives just have to pay for themselves, which means that for affordable housing, the economic benefit to the developer of getting the additional density must be more than offset by the reduced income they're going to get potentially from the reduced lower rents from the affordable housing. So it's a game in terms of looking at how much does it cost to get the additional density and how much reduced rent will they have. We're very excited about doing this study together. We work very closely all the time in terms of different kinds of projects. We often find research areas where we both need the same kind of information, and over the past couple of years have really made sure that we're doing those studies together, and so I'm very happy to be doing this. We anticipate that we'll be done within 6 months. We'll be back in December with some recommendations. Those recommendations will then lead and kind of funnel into very specific code changes in the draft 2035 plan that comes to you in 2015. So that's the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a really timely New York Times article this Sunday about this issue and what's working and what's not working and how much of a crisis it is for popular cities like Portland. So really, really good work. Thank you. Questions for our team?
Yeah, I have a question. I appreciate the willingness to look at this, but as you mentioned, we already have six incentives in the central city. And we know that construction in the central city is likely to be more expensive because it's going to be concrete and go up. So I'm wondering why we're not looking at diversifying the housing outside of the central city, the new apartments going up here, there, and everywhere, many of which are just market rate and don't have affordable components in them.
But just in terms of this study in particular, this is looking at the financial incentives for the central city. It doesn't mean that we're not looking at a slew of other options, which I think maybe Tracy could talk a little bit.
But that's my question. Why have we started in the central city where we've already had some incentives that haven't been very effective? Would it be more likely that we would get more affordable units if we weren't in the high-priced land, high-priced construction places?
Part of the issue is that in Portland, there isn't a need for more density. We have a lot of zoning for enough height already and enough density, and so the bonus wouldn't do anything. So for much of the city, but there may be other financial incentives that we could look at, not related to density.
That was my understanding of what this study is. Is it only limited to density?
At this point, this is looking at zoning issues in terms of density primarily. Yes.
And are you proposing to look at changing height limits or no?
We're proposing changing height limits as part of the Central City 2035 plan. And a lot of those, we did a few of those in the north-northeast quadrant. You're going to see some the next kind of round in the west and then central east side coming soon. And so those will kind of all come together. So, yes, there will be looking at some height changes too. But this will kind of feed together.
And what will be the public involvement in doing this study?
In the study, we'll be primarily looking at market incentives and looking at sort of the facts behind it. We'll likely have a sort of outside kind of review group of people who are specialists in the field to be able to look at how we're doing this and making sure that we're kind of keeping the numbers, looking at market rate and looking at development community and kind of doing a reality test of where the numbers land.
Will you have community involvement so that the expert group doesn't come up with something that the community then rejects?
We can do that as part of, maybe a small subcommittee from the Planning and Sustainability Commission could take this conversation out to the community. That would be great.
I'd like that. Thank you.
Mayor, I have a few questions.
Go ahead, Mr. Fisher.
Commissioner Saltzman and I were at Urban League Forum last night at Maranatha Church, and housing and gentrification issues were very central to the conversation. And so in advance of that forum, I reread Dr. Lisa Bates's comprehensive report that I guess she did in connection with the Portland plan, where she talked about gentrification and the toolkit that we could use, particularly upstream, to avoid displacement. And there's a whole section on voluntary and mandatory inclusionary zoning. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's one of the centerpieces of her report. So I guess I'm too a little confused, because I was under the assumption that this was a tool that was going to be used outside of downtown and was in part targeted to interstate as a tool to provide a stock of affordable housing as development progresses. And now I'm hearing that it's limited to downtown. So I would benefit from some clarification on that.
Well, again, Central City refers to a broader area than just downtown. As we showed on the map, it's also Central East Side, Lloyd District, Goose Hollow, South Waterfront.
Lower Albina. Lloyd District, yeah.
Right.
How far does it go into Lower Albina?
Do you know the answer
as
to that?
As far as the Fremont Bridge, I think. Yeah.
Bridge. Yeah.
I think what Dr. Bates in her study highlighted and what we heard a little bit last night was the desire to have this as a more robust tool potentially in the neighborhoods, and it seems like this is rather constrained.
Well, it's not looking at the interstate urban renewal area yet, and I think Susan Anderson gave some reasons perhaps why not, but one of the other goals of an incentive zoning program is to provide for the opportunity for developers to provide a payment to the city. So we're going to start generating potentially payments into a housing trust fund or a housing investment fund that could then be used citywide to create more affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. So the payment in lieu, and so it could be structured so that those funds have broad geographical application, Tracy?
It certainly could be. I think that's one of the real questions that I have is if a payment in lieu option makes sense, and it's certainly one of the things we'll be asking about in the study, would you want to geographically limit where that payment in lieu could be spent? And to the best of my knowledge, we'll ask the question, that would be a council policy decision as opposed to a legal decision. Because part of my presentation was talking about our values about having people being lower income people able to live in the communities where the city has had a lot of investment, those desirable high opportunity neighborhoods, exactly. So certainly interstate might well be considered by most people to meet that criteria. So I think that would be a really an important policy question we would want to answer as part of this.
I know that, for example, Mayor, in Los Angeles, their SDC program for parks has a geographic limitation, and so that is a policy question. But mm-hmm. Can I go back to the resolution for a second? The resolution repeatedly refers to affordable housing without defining that term. So I'm going to go back to just my own history on this, which is the multi-unit limited tax exemption, which talks about 0 to 60, with some opportunities to go as high as 80% on the rental side. So what are we talking about when we're talking about affordable housing under this approach?
Well, second whereas refers to higher than 30%.
So I want Tracy to give us the range.
Yeah. Well, so that's, again, one of the questions that we'll ask in the study. I mean, I think, what Commissioner Saltzman has consistently talked about has been up to 100 or 99% of affordability, but I think,
there's a question. Or 80%.
Yes, 80%. And most of the communities that use this, just sort of a quick glance, and I think Susan talked about doing some best practice research, go up to 80% in their rental housing, or 60 or 80 are the two numbers you see. Usually there's a little higher number for home ownership. So that'll be part of the economic question, right, is how much bonus do you have to offer to get what kind of rent, and what's the trade-off there?
So it sounds to me like there's two questions that might require research. One is how does it pencil out for the developer,
mm-hmm.
and what's the mix of incentives and the kind of rents that the developer get to be worthwhile and actually use this. The second is, what is the market telling us there's a need?
Yes.
And the one thing that's been missing for me in the workforce housing debate is I have yet to see a study that says there's a documented need. So are you going to do an independent analysis of whether there is a, quote, need for workforce housing?
Yeah, the commissioner's asked us to study, get a better grip on what the rents are for available rental units, particularly in the central city and a couple other sort of high opportunity areas. Because you're right, we don't have that information. And in fact, Joe Zender and I have talked about whether or not that study was logically part of this one or separate.
I guess the other related piece to that I just would like your thoughts on, Representative Reardon is currently doing an inclusionary housing task force at the request of the Speaker with the anticipation of potentially coming in the next biennium with a package of reforms. It seems like this inquiry and that inquiry nicely dovetail, and it's going to raise a policy question about whether the appropriate way to go is a voluntary market-based system or a mandatory system. And obviously the mandatory system has a small problem in that we're preempted from doing it, so the legislature would have to act on that first. But they are the two models, and they've had different outcomes depending on the city you look at. So how do you envision this inquiry dovetailing with what the legislature is doing in looking at a more mandatory regime?
My understanding is that committee is going to come up with recommendations this summer. So we should know that before we're even starting the study, but certainly we'll be able to take that information into account as we look at creating recommendations for council and council considers the policy decision.
I guess my final question, and this is just because I think I don't actually know the answer to this question. We have a tax abatement program that says we'll give you a 10-year pass on property taxes if 20% of the units are affordable. And we went through that big look process for a couple years to actually refine that process and align it with our city-county values. This is a different program. What's the essential difference between this approach and that approach?
So I think you're looking at a different set of benefits. So property tax relief for 10 years versus an ongoing ability to build the additional FAR or potentially the payment in lieu.
Part of it is that it potentially benefits different people. One is an upfront pay, you know, be able to have an upfront incentive to the developer as they develop the building and potentially resell the building to someone else. The other, the ongoing tax abatement, benefits whoever owns the building over the whole period of the 10 years. And so I think there's a whole bag of voluntary potential incentives, and this is just one piece of it.
And one of the distinctions that I'm aware of is that we slap a 60-year affordability covenant on certain kinds of things we invest in. Obviously, it's 10-year tax abatement, but then we have our long-term affordability covenants. Is part of your analysis going to be recommendations to the council about whether we should have long-term affordability covenants which attach to these units?
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you.
Other questions for our two directors? Thank you both.
Yes.
And you have a panel.
Yes.
Dan, ready to come forward?
John Miller, Andy Shaw, Dan Vollier. Please come up. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great. I'll start us off. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for inviting us here today, and good morning, Mayor Hells and Council. For the record, my name is John Miller. I'm with Oregon Opportunity Network, also known as Oregon On. We're a statewide association with 20 member organizations working here in the city, providing housing and economic opportunity for working families, people with disabilities, seniors, and others struggling to meet their needs. I'm here to express our strong support for Commissioner Saltzman's affordable housing incentive proposal. We know that the need for affordable housing in Portland far exceeds the supply. And while there's major building going on right now, nearly all the new construction is for market-rate, high-end housing, not for low- and moderate-income residents. In fact, our estimate is that out of the 23,000 units that are coming online in the next few years, only 420 of those will be affordable. The most urgent housing needs in our community continue to be amongst our most vulnerable neighbors, including those who are homeless and those who are earning modest incomes. We greatly appreciate Council's ongoing effort to support affordable housing and services, and of course want to see existing investments continue and expand in coming years. However, even for families with moderate incomes, finding an affordable home is increasingly difficult, especially in the central city. None of us want downtown and close-in Portland to become a place where only the wealthy can afford to live. Therefore, we greatly appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's leadership in bringing forward this proposal. While it is not a complete solution, nor does it claim to be, it is an important strategy to add to our local toolkit. The reality is that the private market will not help meet the need for affordable housing without incentives. We believe it's vital to narrow that list of incentives and to establish a key priority on that list for affordable housing. As this process moves ahead, we look forward to discussing specifics of the implementation as well as ideas to expand the impact of the incentive, as I think some of you have alluded to today. We know stable housing is critical to children's success in school, to positive health outcomes, and for overall economic prosperity. Commissioner Saltzman's proposal is an important step in the right direction to increase housing opportunity, and we encourage your support. Thank you very much. I'll turn it over now to Dan Valier.
Good morning. Dan Valier with Reach Community Development. Over the past 15 years, City of Portland has built a strong record of accomplishment on preserving and adding to the stock of affordable housing in the central city. Now, that's clear. And, of course, that promotes fair and equitable investments that are good socially and economically for the city, for the whole city. During the last period of rapid housing development, several years ago, the city prioritized affordable housing primarily through a high level of direct investment in rental housing, along with the expansion of urban renewal resources available for housing. We're now in a new period of rapid development without the same level of financial opportunities that we had then, particularly on the urban renewal side. That's just where we are. So we absolutely support the Housing Bureau and Commissioner Saltzman being creative and looking at new tools to incentivize affordable housing. It will complement the existing mix of incentives that we have and will add to the stock. That's what we need to do. Further, I think it's very important that this resolution calls for an assessment regarding the current zoning bonuses that you saw in the central city and which ones should be retained and which ones should be eliminated. For a new affordable housing bonus to attract interest, we feel that this will require reducing and changing the scope and array of the current incentives. So it's very important that's in there. I'm glad to see it. My colleagues and I look forward to partnering with the city during the discussion so that there is a process and there is input into the city's worthy efforts to combat the long-term erosion of affordable housing opportunities in the central city. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Andy Shaw. I'm the Director of Housing at Central City Concern. We are part of Oregon Opportunity Network, and as you know, we are one of the largest affordable housing providers in the Central City area, with 1,500 units of affordable housing serving some of the most vulnerable citizens that we have. I'm here on behalf of the agency to applaud Commissioner Saltzman for this affordable housing incentive zoning proposal. What we see on the ground is that there are several pressure points at work, three key pressure points, namely the stagnating national median income, which has persisted since 1995, and in an increasing rent, national rent level, outstripping everybody's income that can be spent on housing. Excuse me. The second pressure point is unique to the situation right now, which is a lot of investment dollars are flowing into Portland because a lot of the national markets have saturated in terms of the rents. and that a lot of investment dollars are coming, and we can see this visually throughout the city that a lot of apartment buildings are going up. The nuance that we see is that as these dollars flow in, existing landlords are also bumping up their rents. So overall housing affordability is actually decreasing. And so that's the second pressure point. The third pressure point is, of course, unique to Portland with our limited supply of development land because of the urban growth boundary and also just the influx of population of people that are attracted to coming to the city. So these three key pressure points are combining to, again, decrease housing affordability. What that means for the people that we serve, and in our housing unit, in our 1,500 units, we serve primarily people 30% and below MFI. So what we see is that as people get off the wait list in our affordable housing, come into our units, either work on recovery or just stability in their lives and want to move on, what this does is that they basically don't have nowhere to move on to because they can't afford kind of the next step in the housing ladder. So we definitely applaud Commissioner Saltzman for this proposal, and we look forward to working with the city on this study and further outcomes. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
That concludes the invited testimony.
Okay. Questions for the panel? Thank you all for being good partners for this work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you have other people signed up?
Yes, we have two other people. Please come on up. Charles Johnson and Lightning.
Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And, of course, baby steps should be appreciated, even if what is needed is giant strides. Obviously, this little measure should be approved so we can take action in the right direction. The only thing you should consider is that you should have bigger and better plans. Also, the simple truth is right now is that even in our supposedly high demand, high utilization urban core, y'all are failing the people. You turn a blind eye to the exploitation and slumlording that happens right in this district. There are properties that you should be finding procedures to put immediately under Andy Shaw's control. There are places between here and the Bud Clark Center where people who have problems, at least to the point where they receive disability, whether it's because of their cognitive skills or their perception or addiction, have 80% of their check taken by slumlords right across the street from PEAR, the PEAR that you support so closely. Nobody seems to care how many people are exploited in the West Wind departments. They're free to give up. They're free to collect $700-some from the federal government and then turn around and give $500 or $600 to slumlords. And you know about this, but you do nothing. There's no pressure to get some of these buildings with a big red U funded to actually support the people who are sleeping on the streets. So while this is a good academic experiment that will hopefully produce some results that will affect a small number of the low-income citizens in the city, you really need to do more and be honest about the fact that the function of real estate development is maximizing gains for private developers while shifting the costs back to city government. So you want to make sure that you have these procedures and others where developers who are not hurting and not in financial distress at the moment aren't really having working class people suffer so that they can have great growing incomes and great returns on properties while all kinds of average working people and the people who work here in this building with PHC are unable to live close to their workplace. Thank you all.
Yes. I represent Think Lightning Company. My name is Lightning. Any studies directed toward affordable housing is beneficial. Any incentives toward the developers to get them to step up to the table to create a more competitive bidding process on dropping the overall unit price is beneficial. So bring them to the table, get out more bids, and drop the unit prices. Now, one of the problems that I have is we're always talking affordable housing. We're always talking central city, downtown. I want to see more studies involved on where are you, Beaverton, taking care of the homeless in Portland that you're sending down to Portland because you don't want to provide the services in Beaverton? Where are you, Hillsboro, sending people down to Portland because you don't want to provide the housing in Hillsboro for the homeless community? Where are you in Forest Grove taking care of the people in Portland that Portland is being positioned to take care of all the homeless? You need to step up to the plate. You need to start providing more affordable housing in your areas, and you need to work with Portland in a more reasonable manner and understand that we are overburdened by the people that you send to Portland expecting us to take care of. They want to live in Beaverton. They want to live in Hillsboro. They want to live in Forest Grove. They're homeless. They don't have the services there. Why? We need to start looking at your vacancy factor that is quite a bit higher on apartments, where we're down to probably about 2 to 3% in Portland. You're probably running maybe 4 to 7% in certain areas. Why are we not having people move into your area that want to? They should have the ability to do that. If we have a large amount of people in Portland that can, and we need to start looking at the TriMet transportation service and understand that we need to have transportation for people if they want to go to Hillsboro, if they want to live in Beaverton, if they want to live in Gresham and have their housing there, they have to have transportation to do it. If you do not enable them to have that transportation, they will be forced to stay in one certain area. It needs to be spread out. It needs to be looked at on a much bigger picture in Beaverton, Hillsboro, Forest Grove, Gresham. You need to step it up and understand it's your responsibility to take care of the homeless, and you have the ability, and your vacancy factors right now are much higher. You have more affordable housing. There's people downtown Portland who want to move into some of those apartment buildings. Now let's work together and get them some housing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
I have a follow-up question for the team.
Okay, Tracy and Susan, could you come back? Okay, Commissioner Fish.
I'm looking at the draft resolution, and the first, be it further resolved, says you'll do an economic study of the type and amount of bonus necessary to create an effective incentive. So I get that piece. But where does it say you'll do a study of what the need is downtown in terms of housing types and MFI?
Well, type would be included. There it is. So it talks about levels of affordability. Thank you, Susan. So it's the second to last bullet in the resolution. Levels of affordability, type and mix of units, and location of units within building as the kinds of things that we'd look at.
But you have an economic study, and then it says that you'll look at this issue. I guess what I'm trying to get at is it seems to me we need hard data on both. We need to understand how an incentive system works and best practices to actually for this to be a successful program. And second, we need to know what the need is in the target area in terms of housing type and income so that we can calibrate both. And I see the economic study, which is focused on the economics of how you make the bonus system work, but I don't see something carving out a study that identifies the need in terms of who we serve. And we want to make a friendly amendment.
It's kind of going on a parallel track, even though it's not, I think as Tracy mentioned earlier, we are looking at the whole issue that you raised about, you know, what is the need for 80% of market rate housing, for instance. So that is going on a parallel track. Am I correct on that?
We haven't decided if we'd include it or not, but yeah, we're going to do a rent study.
It's not at all exclusive with this focused effort to say which incentive tools are working, which aren't.
Well,
how can we make it work better?
The economic study, Mayor, would turn on there's a direct relationship.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
And since the resolution does begin by saying that the rent burden, that there's an enormous problem of rent burden at the low end, I just want to make sure that we're connecting the dots between what incentive system we need to get the housing and what's the kind of housing we need. And since we don't have any good data other than, well, I shouldn't say that. I think what Northwest Pilot Project puts out is very good data, but we don't have any data on workforce housing. And I wonder if there's a way to get that study built into this study so we have both. If we're going to do an economic study of the type and amount of the bonus necessary, I would ask that we also do a study of what the need is in the central city in terms of housing types and MFI.
You have the capability of doing that under the...
As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, we're planning on doing some study about the real rents. Obviously, need comes more from the American Community Survey. Whether it makes sense, I guess the thing I don't know is whether that should be the same study. Is it the same vendor who's going to do a good job on both of those things, or is it two separate vendors?
And I don't have a specific outcome on this, Mayor, but we have one survey that says there are 19,000 households downtown that are rent burdened, and the overwhelming majority of them are at 0 to 30%. So if we're going to structure a bonus system, provide affordable housing for what we've documented the need, I just want to make sure that the two studies are linked. Council could still decide to go up the income tree and use tools to create incentives for housing that the market may already be providing. That's a council policy choice, but I want to make sure that we know what the need is as we develop this tool.
All right. No, I hear you. I think just thinking it through, and I think Susan was starting to say this, that the kind of consultant who can do the economic study and the kind of consultant who can tell us which zoning tools around the country are working better than the ones we've been using are two different people. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be talking to both of them, and your point is well taken, which is that we should. But I don't think mooshing the two of those together, if I can use a technical term, into the same consulting contract working for these bureaus is the right way to do it. But saying do both and coordinate is completely reasonable to me.
That's what I would like, and
that's what we're doing. We're doing both. Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes back to council, we have the hard data, what the need is, and we have the analysis on what's the sweet spot in terms of the incentive.
Yeah, and we can certainly make note that'll be a clear that can be. We'll make sure we make that clear in our recommendations that the need is sitting sort of next to the tool that's appropriate for the need.
Good. Other questions, comments from the council before we take action on the resolution? Good discussion. Good work. Thank you. Let's take a roll call on the resolution, please.
Fish.
I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this forward. This, to me, is the third or fourth significant milestone under his tenure as the housing commissioner. He brought forth a resolution or an ordinance last year to bring an additional $1.7 million into the system and expanded the scope to include families. And women. He had an audacious ask in the budget, which was funded at a high level for a budget in which we had very scarce resources to allocate. In this particular instance, Commissioner Saltzman is asking, a very useful question about whether there are market-based systems that can get us the additional affordable housing in a time of declining resources. And so, Dan, I appreciate your leadership on all three, and I'm pleased to support this.
Thank you.
Saltzman?
I truly believe a well-designed incentive zoning program focused with a key policy goal on the creation of affordable housing will pay dividends to our city for years and generations to come. So I'd like to thank the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, particularly Susan Anderson and Joe Zender, for their zeal in embracing this idea. And I know it's additional work for Joe and his team, and I thank you in advance for recognizing the importance of this work and taking this task head on. I'd also like to thank Tracy Manning and our team at the Housing Bureau for all the work they will be undertaking in this process as well. I appreciate Oregon On, REACH Community Development, and Central City Concern being here today to testify in support. And I also want to thank Jackie Dingfelder in the mayor's office and Shannon Callahan in my office for their assistance in crafting this resolution. Aye.
Novick.
I very much appreciate Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this forward, and Susan and Tracy and Joe for their staff for their commitment to this effort. I read the same article that the mayor did in the past few days in the New York Times, and this is hard stuff. And I think making additional effort to identify more useful tools and reevaluating the bonus tools that we already have is something that is very important. I will note that the article that we read was somewhat depressing in that it said that the only major attractive city in the world that seems to have dealt with affordable housing effectively is Singapore, which in the 1960s started building huge apartment buildings and herded 80% of the population into them. So I hope that you can find an alternative to that approach. Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Let me bracket my comments with a couple of my favorite quotes. The first is, hope is not a strategy. And I think the council hoped in each case when we adopted our 18 different versions of density bonuses and 6 different versions of density transfers, we hoped in each case that they would work. And in some cases they have, and in some cases they haven't. So that's why this is appropriate to do this review and try to get smarter about what is working here or elsewhere in a focused effort, particularly at affordable housing. So I appreciate, Dan, your leadership on this and these two bureaus working effectively together. These tools could work better, we think, and that's why we're going to do this. I'll close with my other quote, which you probably heard me use before, which comes from Franklin Roosevelt. He said, but above all, try something. But actually, he bracketed his own comments. He was actually giving a speech and talking about poverty, and he said, if a method fails, admit it frankly and try another. But above all, try something. The millions in want will not stand silently by forever. I think he got that right, and hope is not a strategy, and hopefully we will try something that works. Thank you for your help. Aye.